Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio. Coming to you on Watchman on the Wall, End Time Global Link Ministry. Good evening, everybody. Talking about Jesus Christ. I'm so glad to be with you. We're going to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let you know that he is on his way back to the earth. And I know a lot of people don't believe in it. Amen. But it's true anyhow. Jesus Christ is coming back again to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. On Block Talk Radio. I want you to listen in and see what the Word of God has to say. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. Without him, I can't do nothing because he is my shelter. He is my hope and he is my joy. Amen. I want to let you know God is on the main line, and he wants you to know, amen, that he is who he say he is. And there's one thing about God Almighty. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. As I come on this today, I want you to listen a little bit to The Old Rugged Cross. Amen. By Frank Wim. After we get through with this song, amen, we're going to come to
the end of our wall. Of suffering and shame. Oh, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the at last I lay down, so I'll cling to the old cross. Yes, I will. Lord Jesus, someday I'll run around. Oh, that old rugged cross, who despised by the world, as the one just attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear Jesus.
Frank Williams singing the old rugged cross that Jesus Christ bared 2,000 years ago. Christ came to this earth. Now, it seems like people can't understand what's going on in the world today. Jesus Christ actually came to this earth 2,000 years ago. In other words, that was God Almighty in the flesh. And that was the only way God could bring man back to God. Bring man back to God was that somebody had to die on a cross. Now, many men in the past have died on the cross, but this is the only man that died on the cross that took universal effect upon every soul, that was ever born. And that was when Christ died, that gave God power, amen, to save mankind because somebody had to pay the penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, amen, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So no man can die for himself and resurrect himself and suffer for himself, get up out the grave himself, and go back to heaven himself. No man is qualified but one man, and that was God, man. And the devil knows, amen, the devil knows this is the only way that man can be saved. No other way man can be saved but by Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ not was trying to be God. He is God, almighty in the flesh. And that means that God himself became man. And when he became man, he had the same facilities and the same faculty as a human being. In other words, he was God and man put together. Amen. 100% man and 100% God almighty. Let me tell you something. That's awesome. That's awesome. No other God is able to do that because all other gods are false. All other gods are demonic. All other gods are made and designed by Lucifer because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to do what God did. So he took one-third. Now get this now. One-third of the angelic beings from heaven. When he took them from heaven, amen, God cast Lucifer, which was the main archangel, in second command of the heavenly choir and the music director of the heavenly choir, and he was the protector of God's throne. In other words, when God ever leave his throne in heaven, Satan would stand in the midst, in the front of the throne to guard it from any other angels, amen, trying to take control, amen, because angels were created. In other words, angels knew good from evil at the beginning. When God made man and created him and breathed into his nostrils, he became a living soul. Man was in the state of innocence. And man, amen, had a choice to choose whether to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil or to leave it alone. And since he didn't leave it alone, then the human race fell because Satan intruded on the human race. God got control of the world, but Satan has control of the human race. He stole the race. He deceived Eve, and he got Eve to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, and then Eve gave Adam some. And when Eve gave Adam some and Adam did eat, then what? Satan took control of the human race. In other words, the human race was cut off from God. The human race was all on its own. The human race, listen to me, the human race, without God intervening on the plan of salvation for mankind, the devil would have been in full control of the human race from the beginning to the end. I hope you can understand that. In other words, Satan wanted to take control of the universe, the earth, the galaxies, the cosmos. He wanted to take full control and dethrone God. And by him trying to dethrone God, he said, well, since I can't overthrow God in heaven, that was the first war. That was the first war in heaven. Satan did a coup on God and tried to overthrow the very presence of God in his kingdom, and that's in third heaven. Third heaven is where God's throne at. Third heaven is where God rules at. Third heaven is the place where God abode, and he will be abiding there until he comes back to this earth. And when he comes back to this earth, he's not coming back the second time to die. No more dying. No more suffering on the cross. That's already been done 2,000 years ago. And when he done that, he'd give man an opportunity to come back to him through what? The blood of the cross. No, not denominationism, not communism, not Judaism, not Buddhism. No kind of religion, amen, can what? Bring man back to God. God had to come down here. God Almighty, Elohim, Yeshua, amen. The creator, the I am, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is self-existent one. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is self-existent. Nobody created him. Nobody made him. Nobody can order him around. Nobody can tell him what to do. He is self-existent. He don't need mankind. Mankind need him. Since God made him after his own likeness and after his image, God said, this is my creation. They're made after me. They look like me. They talk like me. They're little gods. You hear what I say? Little gods. Little tiny gods. And I give them power. Amen. I will give them power to become the sons of God. Amen. And when Adam and Eve fell, that cut the human race off completely from the creator. And now we're living in 2021. And by us living in 2021, men have tried to decide whether there's a God or not. You know, if he's a God, did he die? Where is he? Why don't he do something with this earth? Why don't he straighten out the human race? Why don't he save the human race? Why don't he? Well, he did already. How did he do that? He died already. It's up to the human race to make a choice. See? You got to make a choice. People say, oh, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. But now you got to make a choice. If you want to be saved, God can save you. What? From sin. And sin is pleasurable. Sin is low down. Sin is rotten. Sin stinks. Sin, man was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Then my mother conceived me. I couldn't help but not being born in sin because Adam and Eve, amen, was the one that caused the authority of sin taken over by Lucifer. And since Lucifer has taken over the humanity of race, God said, I'm going down, I'm going down, I'm going down. And when I go down, I'm going down and pay for the penalty of sin. Because somebody got to pay for sin. See, angels couldn't pay, cherubims couldn't pay, seraphims couldn't pay, no created being. No angel, no cherubim could ever suffer for mankind. No patriarch in the Old Testament and in the New Testament could suffer for mankind to bring man back to God. No man could do that. No man. Did you hear what I said? You can name the most powerful man that ever lived. And nobody was more powerful than Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is God all by himself. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's what? He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three are co-equal. It's not three gods. It's self-existent, one. Hey, God the Father, amen, became Christ the Son, amen. And when he died on Calvary's cross, he said, I got the Holy Ghost. When I go back to heaven, I'm going to send you power from on high, which is the Holy Ghost, and you shall be a witness for me. That's the same God. Amen, amen. So when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit of God. You're sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And now it's been 2,000 years. Christ, Son of God, has been gone from this planet Earth. He left about 33, 34 A.D. on the top of the Mount of Olives. That's where Jesus left. He left on the top of the Mount of Olives. He made the discourse, and he told exactly what would happen, exactly what would happen in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what would happen before he comes back again. The first time he came, he was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Not born by man, not born by flesh and blood, but by born by God himself. Amen. Impregnated Mary, what? With the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God Almighty, because God is a spirit. And he impregnated Mary with the Holy Ghost, and she was found with child. She was had a baby inside of a womb that was born of God. God is the Father. Woo, that's awesome. Because God knew. He knew he had to become a man just like the human man is today. He had to become like man so that he can feel what it is to be human. God never knew what it was going to be like when he became a human being. And yet still, he was God Almighty. He had a blood system. He had everything, the faculties of a man that a man had. He was a solid man. He was a loving man. He was God himself in the flesh. Woo, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received back up into glory 2,000 years ago. And he, before he came back, before he said he would come back, the world would be in an awful shape. It would be in an awful shape than it has ever been in before. Jesus Christ quoted in Matthew, amen. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. So what was he saying? He was saying, just before I come back, the world will be in a chaotic condition. It would be messed up. And it is messed up now. And Satan says, I'm trying to what? I'm trying to damn every soul. I'm trying to wipe out every soul and damn every soul so they can what? They can be in hell with me, because Satan has no hope. He has no joy. Satan has no peace. He has no love. He has no idea who what God is getting ready to do. But yet and still, he's got people believing that God is far off somewhere and that Christ really didn't come from the grave and that Christ was not God Almighty in faith. He's got people believing that, and people sucking it up. Amen. They're sucking it up every day. Woo! And some church folks who are going to church don't know nothing about the great experience of having a transformed life from death to life through Jesus Christ. The only way your life can be changed, the only way your life can be changed is through Jesus Christ. Drugs can't change it. Sex can't change it. Money can't change it. The preacher can't change it. The bishop can't change it. The pope can't change it. The church membership can't change it. The choir members can't change it. Nothing can change your life from death to life but Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of your faith, of my faith, if you trust in him. But yet and still, the people want more answers. They're trying to find a new way. They're trying to change the Bible. They're trying to rewrite the Bible. They're trying to say, well, if I just go to church the rest of my life, I can go to heaven. But let me tell you, them old saints used to sing, 99 and a half won't do. And I'm telling you this afternoon, 99 and a half won't do. You got to be what? Born again. Born again. Not of flesh, not of blood, but of the Spirit and of water. Amen. Ye must be born again. Make no difference how long you've been going to church. I don't care how long you've been a deacon or a preacher. You must be born again. This is Elder Bazaar, amen, telling you End Time Global Link Ministry. And I was telling you not too long ago, just a few minutes ago, Jesus Christ said, just before I come back, it's going to be worse than the days of Noah. And we know something about Noah. Amen. The sixth chapter of the book of Genesis tell you about Noah. It says Noah was the only one on the face of the earth. You hear what I'm saying? At that time, Noah was the only one on the face of the earth that found grace in the eyesight of God Almighty. And Noah found grace, and Noah was protected, and Noah, God spoke to Noah and told him flat out that the generation that Noah lived in, he said, it has come so corrupt and so abominable and so rotten and so debauchery, blasphemers, liars, whoremongers, all kinds of fornicators, all kinds of adulterers, all kinds of wicked people was upon the face of the earth during the times of Noah. And nobody paid attention to, amen, brother Noah. And God said, Noah, build me an ark out of gopher wood. And I want you to build an ark, and I want you to preach for 120 years to warn the people it's going to rain. And God found grace in the eyesight of Noah, and he protected him, his wife, his sons, and his daughter-in-laws from the flood. And let me tell you, when they start building that ark, it was a laughing stock to the present to the generation of Noah. They laughed at him, they mocked him, they called him an old bald-headed, crazy man, building what? Building an ark on dry land. We got to be a fool to believe that that thing is going to what? That thing is going to float on the water. In other words, what is rain? Didn't know what rain was. Never saw rain, because at that time before the flood, the water was subterranean. You know what I'm talking about. Subterranean means the water was underneath of the earth. Amen. And since the water was underneath of the earth, in the circumference of the earth, there was no need for rain. No need for rain. So what happened is God broke up the deep and went down into the subterranean of the earth and broke up the water. And when the water was broken up, it was gushing up out of the earth. And then God caused it to rain. It rained from down, and it water came up out of the earth. And it rained. Listen here. It rained 40 days, 40 nights. 40 days, 40 nights, it rained, I'm telling you, it rained, and it didn't stop for 40 days, consistent rain. So Noah had got the ark built. He called all the animals on, and the folks in that day seen the animals come on, and they had a circus going on. They were just a laughing and just a joking. Some were getting mad. They said, the old bald-headed fool. I don't know if Noah was bald-headed or not. Amen. I'm just saying that because, you know, when you're almost 600 years old, you know, that longevity in that day, amen, was like 600, 700, 800, 9 years old. Men in that day would live a long time. The longest man that lived in the Old Testament was old Methuselah. He lived 969 years, and he died the year before the flood. And after Lamech died, God told Noah to get the animals on. And when he got all the animals on, he let the ark stay open. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. He let the ark stay open for 7 days. 7 days of grace God gives humanity to come on the ark. The only thing you had to do was just walk on the ark. I mean, you had to leave everything. You had to leave your loved ones. You had to leave all your belongings. You had to leave everything, in other words, in order to get on the ark. You had to forsake your mama, your daddy, your sister. You had to repent of your sins and come on the ark. That's all they had you do, just walk on the ark. Bow down before the living God and thank him for letting you walk on the ark. And Noah couldn't get nobody in the ark but only 8 people. Think about that. Out of 8 people, after preaching for 120 years, 8 people came to the altar of the ark and got on the boat. When he got on the boat, God said, now, Noah, 7 days of grace I will give humanity. For those that want to come on, whosoever will, let him come on. And the first day went by, nobody. Second day, nobody. Third day, nobody. Fourth day, nobody. Fifth day, nobody. Sixth day, nobody. Seventh day, nobody came. Nobody came. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, very few people came on ark, only eight. He said, and it was in the days of Noah, very few people are coming to know the Lord today, and it's not the ark no more, it's the cross of Jesus Christ. People are not repenting of their sins and turning from their wicked ways and be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They're not bowed down to the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They're ignoring the cross because Apostle Paul said, preaching of the cross, those that perish is foolishness. Lord, have mercy. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You preach the cross to people today, amen, they think it's a bunch of junk. They think it's a waste of time. I don't want to be sanctified. I don't want to be justified by no blood of Christ. I ain't got time for no Jesus Christ right now. Man, I'm going to party up. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do what I got to do. And whether I die and go to hell, I don't make no difference to me. And the world is saying that. Hey, I'd rather, this is what people are saying. I'd rather go to hell. That's just what they're saying. I'd rather enjoy sin and the pleasures of lust and the pleasures of gambling and the pleasures of cussing and the pleasures of doing all my stuff. I'd rather do that, die and go to hell before I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and be saved from the depths of hell. That's what the world is saying today. And Jesus Christ is saying, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Repent of your sin. Repent and be baptized, that you may be saved. Because one thing about it, you only got one soul. One soul. You don't get no more souls. And when you die, if you die without Jesus Christ and the love of God in your heart for people, for the community, if you don't love people, if you don't walk in the ways of God wants you to walk, in the wake of holiness, amen, amen, walk in the work of holiness and be born again and be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Guess what? Amen. If you leave this planet right now without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll wake up in hell crying out for the pain, the agony that hell is going to bring. Ooh, my God, my God. Think about it. Think about it. This is Elder Bazaar trying to tell you, amen, the word of God is true. The word of God is everlasting. The word of God, you cannot change. Amen. I want to get that across to you, amen, and let you know the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. But today we're going to talk about some dry bones and see what these dry bones represent in the modern day eschatology, amen, the end time period. Jesus Christ is coming back again, and he said in the book, amen, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said in the book in the Old Testament. Well, we're going to turn to the Old Testament right now in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to see what's going on with Ezekiel. Ezekiel is known, amen, means strengthen, amen. And Ezekiel was one of those major prophets that God used in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, prophets prophesied of future events that would happen upon the earth in the end time. And the very future, amen, we see the events of these things happening right now, all over the world. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. And this 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel is one of the most unique prophetic prophecies in the Bible, of the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, which talks about the dry bones. And we're going to relate to you this afternoon about the dry bones that was spoken by the word of the Lord through Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a major prophet. Amen. And in the book of Ezekiel, we will read these words, amen, in the beginning of the 37th chapter. You have your Bible with you. Maybe you can look it up and read with me. But we're going to read this, and we're going to let you know exactly where we are at in the last days. The last days, just before Christ comes back. That's before the rapture of the church is on the horizon. It's not far away. It's not far away. It's right up on us. It's right up on us. So close to you. Amen. It's more closer than the blood is running in your veins. Is more closer than the skin is on your bones. Because when Christ comes, when Jesus Christ comes back from heaven, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout. with the voices of archangels, and the trumpets of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's in a moment of a split second. That's going to be so fast. Amen. People ain't going to believe it. Amen. People ain't going to understand it. People are going to be missing their loved ones. They're going to be missing babies. They're going to be missing people in prison. They're going to be missing people in hospitals. They're going to be missing people on the highway. They're going to be missing people all over the world. Millions of people will be what? Excommunicated from earth to heaven in a moment. Ooh, in the twinkling of an eye, brother. You ain't got time to try to get saved. You better be saved. You better know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and know, amen, that you have been born again, that your life has been changed, and quit, woo, half-stepping. Because half-stepping salvation ain't going to do it. You got to have what? You got to have the full plan of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. In the book of Ezekiel 37 chapter, it has at least, amen, it has at least 28 verses. We won't get through all of them, but we'll get through the meat part of it. Amen. And then you can read the rest of it later on. Amen. When you have time. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was known as the prophet that strengthened. And in the 37th chapter, it reads thus. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Here Ezekiel caught a glimpse of God's hand, and the hand of the Lord was on him, and it carried him out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Ezekiel was in Babylon at this time by the river of Chebar, and he was weary. He was disgusted. He was, naive of what was going on, but he knew one thing. Israel was in trouble. Israel had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar, and the Jews, oh my God, the Jews were taken from Babylon. It was taken from Israel all the way into Babylon. And when they were taken in Babylon, they had three sieges that was taken up on the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was ransacked by Nebuchadnezzar. The temple was torn down. The children was in the streets. The babies were starving. The economical and the political world and the religious world and the Jews had lost. They are almost lost their identity as being one of the greatest nations up on the planet. And that nation was the Jewish nation because they were chosen by who? God Almighty. God Almighty chose Abraham. And Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot the 12 tribes. And the 12 tribes, amen, was God's chosen people to represent. Now listen, Israel was to represent three categories. It was represent to the nations of the world. Was supposed to be the representative of the nations of the world, to be the nation that knows the true and living God. You understand what I'm saying? That nation was to be an example and ambassador for God Almighty to the other heathen nations, that there was only one mighty God, one awesome God, one true God, one God that made and created everything, and Israel was supposed to represent that God to the Gentile nation, because the Gentile nation had all kind of God. They had a God of the alligator. They worshiped the moon. They worshiped themselves. They worshiped sex. They worshiped everything that's not like God. And God sent Israel to be a representative to those nations and say, God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God is a loving God. And we are to represent them, to let them know how God wants men and women to live. That's number one. Representative to set example to the heathen nations. The second one, to write the holy scriptures, to preserve the Holy Scriptures. So when you read your Bible, you read a Jewish Bible because it was written in Hebrew. Since it was written in Hebrew, amen, they had the authority to write it in Hebrew because the Jews were Hebrews. And by them being Hebrews, God had a language for the Jewish people to write it in Hebrew. And later on in the annals of time and down through the generation, amen, the Greek language came. And when the Greek language came, which was almost a universal language, that was interpreted into Greek. And from Greek, they interpreted it into English. And when that was done, that means that God intended for the Jewish people to be the writer and the author of the Word of God through holy men, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when you read your Bible, you say you got the King James Version, you got that version, but basically, amen, you're reading a Jewish Bible written and interpreted in English. And by that, God said that's the second reason I sent Israel to write the Holy Scripture and to preserve it. And the Jewish people, oh my God, they have preserved the Holy Scripture. They cherish the Holy Scripture. Although they don't obey it, although they have been rebellious against God, they preserve the Holy Scriptures like, ooh, it meant their life. And they have preserved it all down through the annals of time. And the third and the most unique reason why God chose Abraham. God chose Abraham because of number one thing, his faith that he had in Yahweh. His faith, his consistency, his dedication, and his commitment to obey God. And God said, since you obey me, amen, and did what I told you to do, I'm going to bring the seed. I'm going to bring the seed, the royal seed, through your seed. And that seed is the Messiah. The Messiah came through the Jewish race. Jesus Christ was born a Jew. You got it? He was born a Jew. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. So when we worship a Jewish Messiah. Woo, the great God and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Woo! And not only that, amen. And Jesus Christ said, I came to my own and my own received them not, but as many received me, I give them power to become the sons of God. And you know the story. The Jews rejected Jesus Christ. The Jews rejected, thank God, the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. Because by the rejection, God used the Gentiles to stir up jealousy among the Jews. And by that, that's where the Gentiles come in. Because when the Gentiles came in, they didn't come in until the day of Pentecost. 12 years after the day of Pentecost, amen, the Jews was grafted in. Listen to me now. The Jews was grafted in to become a part of the church. And now the church of the Gentiles is consisted mostly of Gentiles. There's still Jews being saved. They are in the church. Because the church was started by what? 120 Jews in the upper room waiting for what? Power from on high that they was going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it will give them power to do what? To be a witness for who? Jesus Christ. The Jews were supposed to be a witness for Jesus Christ to the world. The church was started with the Jews, 120. But since the Jews rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God said, I'm going to cut the Jewish people off for a period of time. And when I cut them off from the period of time, I'm going to grab the Gentiles, the wild branch. You know, the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter of Romans, you'll read about the wild branches. The wild branches is the Gentiles because we wild. I'm telling you, the Gentiles is wild. They live riotous. They live cruel. They start wars. They do all kinds of wicked sin. And the Jews sin now. Don't get me wrong. The Jews sin. And God told the Jewish people, now stay away from that stuff. Stay away from that sin in the Gentiles, because they're serving false gods. They're serving gods of bullocks. They're serving gods of Baal. They're serving gods of Dagon. They're serving gods of the flesh. And by that, you stay away from it. And the Jews did not stay away from it. They mingled in, and they became corrupt. And they came so corrupt that God said, I almost had to eliminate the Jewish people. But he said, now I promised Abraham. Listen to what God said. He said, I promised Abraham, I'm going to rise up a nation. I'm going to rise up a nation. And when I rise this nation up, I'm going to fix it that they will obey. They will obey me. And guess what? The Jews have been in disobedience all the way up until the time for restoration. In other words, I'm going to bring the Jews back into the land. I'm going to replenish them. I'm going to give them their land that I gave to Abraham and Jacob. I'm going to put them in the land. And when I put them in the land, I'm going to let you know that's a sign. That's a great sign that the return of Jesus Christ is on his way, because the Jesus Christ will never come back until the Jews is back in the land. And guess what? The Jews are back in the land. I don't know how to explain that. The Jews are back in the land. And guess what? They're coming from the four corners of the earth. They're coming from what? They're coming from north, east, south, and west. They're coming back, and they're coming back in droves. They're coming back from Ethiopia. They're coming back from Africa. They're coming back from China. They're coming back from Russia. They're coming back from the Western Eastern Europe. And there is a lost 10 tribes that's coming back. 10 tribes are lost. What you talking about, preacher? Where you get that stuff at? Let me tell you, don't you know Moses married an Ethiopian? Uh-oh. Don't you know Moses married a black woman? And don't you know Aaron and Miriam got mad at Moses and said, what you got nerve to serve, to marry that black woman? And God got angry at it, and God caused Mary to put a plague upon Aaron and Miriam, and told him, no, don't you mess with Moses. If he married the Ethiopian, amen. Those Ethiopian Jews is known today in the present, and Ethiopia is known as Falachi Jews. Falachi Jews, black Jews, black Jews. So God is no respecter of person. Amen. And then you have Solomon. You have Solomon that had a baby by Queen of Sheba. Queen of Sheba had heard about the wisdom of Solomon. She said, I'm going up to Jerusalem and find this man, because this man got such great wisdom. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote Proverbs. He wrote the Songs of Solomon. This man, God had poured out wisdom to him, and I'm going up to see him. And when she came up to see Solomon, and you know Solomon was known to have a whole lot of concubines and women, amen, they conceived and had a child. Solomon had a child by what? Queen of Sheba, and she was a black woman, and she went back to Sheba. And now these Jews, amen, that were begotten by Moses and was begotten by Solomon are in existence today, and God is bringing them back in the land. And by him bringing them back in the land, they tell me the nations of the world is getting mad at the Jewish people because they're recurring and they're bringing back. And God said, don't you touch them. Don't you rebuke them. Don't you do nothing, because I'm going to bring my people back into the land. And when I get them back into the land, you better get ready, church. You better get ready, church. Because when you bring them back into the land, that means the church age is almost over. I don't know if you can get this or not. Can you comprehend that? When the Jews start coming back to the land of Israel, they're coming back for one reason. They're coming back in unbelief. But by them coming back in unbelief, God is going to make sure that they get their message and get understanding. And this time, they're not going to reject the Messiah that they have rejected for over the period of 2,600 years. For 2,600 years, the Jews didn't have nowhere to go. no place to lay their head. They were wandering all over the world until 1948. What happened in 1948? In 1948, for the first time over the period of what? Over the period of 2,600 years, the Jewish nation became a nation for the first time for the period of 2,600 years since 1948. And since 1948, they have been into the land, and they are coming back by the droves, as I said. Why? Why are they coming back? They know. It's in their spirit to know that something is getting ready to happen. They know that the Messiah is coming. But first, before the Messiah comes back to the earth, a false Messiah will come first. And they will, this false Messiah will try to deceive the children of Israel. And the false Christ is called the Antichrist. And I want to let you know the Antichrist is alive today. He's alive, full grown. And by being full grown, that means, if he's full grown, that means soon and very soon he's going to arrive on the scene. He can't come out now. The Antichrist cannot appear on TV, radio, and internet right now. He can't do that. But there's a time coming when he will. And the time that he will come is when the body of Christ will be removed from the earth. The reason why, because Israel and the church cannot coexist together, because Israel has a job to do alone by themselves, and the church will not be here. The church will be in glory. I'll be singing and shouting. I'll be crying out, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, when the trumps of God sound. But by when the trumps of God sound, that means the mission, the work of the church is done. Ooh, so if you have been born again, washed in the blood, guess what? When the trumps of God sound, you're out of here. I'm serious. I'm serious of a heart attack. Amen. If I knew I was going to die after I get through with this message, amen, I would tell the Lord, let me say the message first, then take me. Why? Because I know that I know that I know that the word of God is right. So what I'm going to try to do, I'm going to try to break down these bones for you and let you know how close we are to what? The return of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him and set me in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones, nothing but bones. The leg bone, the thigh bones, the head bone, the back bone, the knee bone, the ear bone, every bone was scattered all over in the graves. Now listen, second verse says, and caused me, Ezekiel, to pass by them round and about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. These bones, I'm going to show you later on down in the verses. These bones, I'm going to tell you now, these bones represent Israel when they were in captivity and they were scattered all over the face of the earth. That's when they didn't have the true worship with God. They mean they were in sin, and sin destroys. Sin separates you from God. And Israel has sinned so bad that God put them into captivity and put them in a place of scattered them all over the face of the earth. And when he scattered them all over the face of the earth, he scattered them in Russia and China and South America and North America. He scattered them in the East and Western Europe. He scattered them in Argentina. He scattered them all in America. The Jews was in a graveyard. They didn't have the temple. They didn't have the rituals. They didn't have the offering of sacrifices of animals. They had lost everything. But God said, I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to let you suffer. I'm going to let you be whipped. I'm going to bring you back into the land in the presence of due time. And the due time was not until 1948, when 25,000 Jews came back to the land of Israel. And when they came back to the land of Israel, they cultivated the land. They irrigated the land. And they tell me Jerusalem right now is flourishing. Oh, man, it's the most beautiful place that you ever want to see. It's the most wonderful place because that's the home. That's the place of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where he was born. That's where he suffered. That's where he did miracles. That's where he died. That's where he was resurrected. And he's coming back to do what? He's coming back to start up the millennium reign. The millennium reign is when Christ will come back to the earth after the defeat of Satan will be destroyed and put in the bottomless pit. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I had to say that to let you know we got the victory. He says, and caused me to pass by round and about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. It's a valley. It's a graveyard valley. And lo, they were very dry. They were dry. They were cut off from God. But God said, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to do something. And the old Ezekiel says, I'm going to write this down. Third day, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Can they live? Can they have a spiritual relationship with the Almighty? And I answered, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. God knows everything. God knows everything, honey. Don't you worry about it. God knows your down sitting, your uprising. He knows your in going and your outgoing. He knows all about you. He knows about everything all at once. Hey, he don't forget nothing. Amen. And he knows those of the hills. He knows those that have been born again. He knows that they have those that are saved, and he knows those that are not saved. Now, you can tell me that you saved, but let me tell you, one person that really knows is God Almighty to know that you're saved, because the Bible said in the last day, many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, don't we know you? Lord, Lord, have you cast out devils? Lord, Lord, have not we been on the deacon board? Lord, Lord, have I been preaching for a long time? Lord, Lord, don't I pay my tithe? I know you. Did we do miracles? And you know something? It says that Jesus Christ will say to these people, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. You are backstabbers. You are half-minded. You don't know what you're talking about. You haven't had an experience with me. You're trying to fool the people, but you can't fool God. Woo-hoo! And he said unto me, can his bone live? And he answered and said, oh, Lord, thou knowest. And again, he said unto me, prophesy. Preacher. Hey, preachers, come on, preachers out there, prophesy upon these bones. Now, if I want to go a little ahead of myself, I need some preachers today. I need some prophets today to preach the gospel in the churches today. I need some preachers that will preach the unadulterated word of God in the churches today and quit thinking this hanky-panky, pokey, Mickey Mouse religion. Amen. Preach the cross. Jesus Christ died for your sin on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago and gave up his only son that whosoever believeth in him shall perish. And then he said, now when you born again, you got to change your life. Whoa, hallelujah. You passed from death to life. And how do you know you passed from death to life? You know you passed from death to life because you love the brethren. Oh, man, there's lack of love in the churches today. People don't love people like they used to. Amen. They don't love God like they used to. If you love God, I know one thing about it. You want to love your fellow man. I don't care what kind of condition he is. I don't care what kind of color skin he is. I'm talking about preach. Preach to preach the word in season and out of season. We need some. Ooh, we don't need no compromising preachers. We need some staunch preachers. We need some preachers that know God and know the word of God and live the life. Live the life, man. Come on. Quit trying to play Romeo and Juliet. Quit trying to play Mr. Pretty Boy preacher. Quit trying to pimp God. Oh, my God, a lot of preachers trying to pimp God. You can't pimp God. You're fooling around. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Let me tell you, you're going to hell if you haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care how good you are, how sweet you are. I don't care how white you are. I don't care how black you are. I don't care how uneducated you are. I don't care about that. What I care about, do you know? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know him? If you know him, then you ought to be able to shout out on the rooftop and tell the world, for Christ I live and for Christ I die. to give my life to Jesus Christ and turn from my wicked, nasty ways. A lot of saints call themselves saints, got a lot of nasty attitudes in the house of God. Oh, they'll backstab you in a minute. They'll talk about you. They'll criticize you in the church, in the church. But we ain't on the church right now. We on Israel. We on Israel now. And these old dry bones, Israel was land and a waste for land. They didn't have nothing. Amen. They had come from a blessing to a curse. And the reason they was cursed is because God said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. If you reject me and rebel against me and come stiff-necked, you're going to be cursed. And Israel, has been cursed. But God said, I'm going to lift that curse because in the fifth chapter, it says, in the fifth verse, it says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. God said it. God said to Ezekiel, I'm going to cause breath to enter into Israel. I'm going to give them life. I'm going to bring them back to the temple. I'm going to bring them back to the land in which the Lord God giveth thee. I'm going to bring you from under the chastisement that I don't let you suffer under for 2,600 years. I'm going to restore the land and let the world know you are still my chosen people. I'm going to let dictators, I'm going to let Adolf Hitler, I'm going to let all these world dictators chastise you and teach you a lesson, and that's what they've done. Oh, Hitler, Adolf Hitler said, I can't stand a Jew, and he was part Jew himself. He said, I'm going to wipe out the whole nation of Israel. I'm going to wipe them from the face of the earth, and he ended up killing about 6 million Jews in the Holocaust, and it got so bad that the world blinded her eyes and didn't see what Hitler was done. But let me tell you, Hitler didn't go but so far. And after he had got through killing 6 million Jews, he died in the bunker. Took a cyanide pill between his jaw of his teeth and took a .45 caliber and shot himself through the head. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And don't you worry about it. Hitler going to pay for it in hell. Why? Because he persecuted the Jewish people. Why? Because God, amen, had permitted it. Although he permitted it, Hitler didn't have to do it. Amen. He could have saved and loved the Jew and recognized that they were God's chosen people, but he didn't. Because the devil, you hear what I said? The devil hates two kind of people on this planet. He hates the Jew and he hates Christianity. You hear what I said? He hates the Jew and he hates Christianity because Christianity represents Jesus Christ and the Jews represent the power and the holiness of God Almighty. But they became unholy because of disobedience. But God said, I'm going to restore your holiness. I'm going to restore your sanctification in the proper time that I'm going to do it. And at the time he said, prophesied unto these bones and said unto the being, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Fifth chapter says, the Lord God, these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. The Jews are going to live spiritually and they're going to be brought back into the land. They're going to be shouting. They're going to be rejoicing because I think it's in 2014. Amen. This past year, 2021, they celebrated for the first time 73 years of being a nation. They celebrated 73 years of being a nation after they had been scattered for 2,600 years. They became a nation in 1948, and 2021 they became the nation of the nations of the nations to become a nation for what? 73 years they have been in their land, and they are getting ready for what? They are getting ready to reestablish the temple. Hallelujah. They're getting ready to build a temple. And this temple will represent they're trying to go back to old Judaism. But they're building it because they've been building it for the Antichrist. They think that this Antichrist is coming, is the true Christ. But before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, the Antichrist is going to come. the devil is going to send a man to this earth and got a man already picked out. The devil does. This man is already picked out. I can name him, but I'm not going to name him right now. Because people say, oh, you crazy. How could you find that out? You got to read the word of God. You got to be committed to God Almighty. You got to be dedicated. And I can tell you right now, I'm a dedicated man to God, not to man. And when God reveal his scripture to me, I'm going to let you know about it. You may be stunned about it because, number one, you don't read your Bible. You don't study your Bible. You don't see what's going on in the world today. But these Jewish people now is celebrating 73 years of being a nation for that long a time. And guess what? Guess what's starting up now? Guess what next? The nations of the world are rebelling against the Jewish people. The Jewish nation is being rebelled against the nations of the world. The nations of the world don't want the Jews in the land flowing with milk and honey. They don't realize that the land deed belongs to God Almighty. And God told Abraham back there in the 12th chapter, he said, I'm going to give you the land from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the Euphrates River, about 200 miles. I'm going to give you that land, and I'm going to rule and reign in that land during the millennium reign. But first, I've got to get you established, and this establish is going to bring life to the Jewish people. And thus saith the Lord God, these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter to you, and they shall live. And I will lay sinews. Sinews in the Bible represent muscle, strength. This nation will become a strong nation, a powerful nation. Why? Because God has blessed the Jewish people through Abraham. Why Abraham? Because Abraham was a man of faith. And what Abraham did that turned God on, he said, Abraham, you got a son. You got a son, and I want you to take him on the top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer a sacrifice to me. Abraham was stunned. He's stunned. But one thing about Abraham, he obeyed God. He did what God told him to do and asked him to do. And Abraham took Isaac on the top of Mount Moriah. And old Isaac took wood, had wood on his back. And as he was going in, Isaac asked his father Abraham, said, Abraham, dad, father, who's going to be the sacrifice? And Abraham spoke out and said, don't worry, son. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. But God told Abraham to offer of Isaac, and Isaac didn't know it. But when they got on the top of the mountain, God was so pleased. Woo! I think heaven was shouting because Abraham obeyed God. And he got him and tied Isaac up, put the wood on the altar, laid Isaac on top of the wood. And Isaac then knew that Abraham knew. He knew then that he was going to be the sacrifice. Hallelujah. But he was getting ready to take a knife and come down on his son Isaac through the heart. And that just as he got ready to come down, an angel came out of heaven and held Abraham's hand back and held his hand back and said, do thy son no harm. Look over there in the thicket and you will find a ram. Take your son over the altar. Take your son off the altar and put that ram on the altar as a sacrifice of blood, an atonement for your sins. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And Abraham took Isaac off of the altar and put the ram on there and slew the ram and took the blood and used it as an atonement for his sins. And God was shouting in heaven. God said, if you were to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, it wouldn't accomplish anything. It wouldn't accomplish salvation. Oh, my God, it wouldn't accomplish salvation. But I had to give you a test. And sometimes in life, God will give you a test and see how you're going to react out of the test. And if you be faithful and strong under the test, God, and you come out being obedient, God will bless you. He'll bless your home. He'll bless your children. He'll bless everything you touch. Amen. He'll bless you when you're coming in. He'll bless you when you're coming out. He'll bless you. Why? Because you're obedient to his will. But let me tell you that simplified type and shadow of the sacrifice of Isaac. Amen. It was a type and shadow of the great sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice that was ever put upon the face of the earth. Nowhere in the eons or the ions that God ever offered up himself as a sacrifice. If you will go back into eternity, there was nobody. If you go back and forward into eternity, there was nobody. You can go all over the orbit universe, and you won't find nobody that made the ultimate sacrifice, none but one. And to tell me it got down to one man that was able to offer sacrifice, because Abraham couldn't do it, Isaac couldn't do it, Jacob couldn't do it, none of the patriarchs, Ezekiel couldn't do it, Jeremiah couldn't do it, Isaac couldn't do it, Zechariah couldn't do it, Jonah couldn't do it, Ezra couldn't do it. Ooh, nobody could sacrifice themselves to make an atonement for the sins of the world. And then you will read in the word of God, who can go for us? Who can die for the sins of man? Who can be whipped and persecuted, and by his stripes we are healed? Who can die and get up on his own power? And nobody could do it until one of the elders said, John, hey John, hey John, hey John, don't weep and don't cry. I know you done looked inside the earth. I know you done looked on top of the earth. I know you looked on the bottom side of the earth. I know, and you can't find nobody. You can't find nobody, even though he was a righteous man. And they tell me after that, John began to weep. And as he began to cry, the elders say, hey, John, don't weep no more. Don't cry no more. And don't mourn no more. I found somebody out of the line and the tribe of Judah and the root of David, brighter than the morning star. Yeah, I found somebody who is capable enough to go down and redeem mankind. Yeah, go down and redeem that drunkard, that liar, that prostitute. Go down and redeem that homosexual. And go down and redeem that lesbian. Go down and redeem that gambler. Go down and redeem the lost souls of men that don't know God as their Savior and don't know God as their keeper. And they tell me, I heard in Hebrews, it said in Hebrews, the Lord spoke, and he said, if thou would prepare me a body, I'll go down and redeem mankind. Yes. And they tell me when Jesus came, born of a Virgin Mary, stayed on earth for 33 and one half years. And they tell me if Jesus would have did all the miracles he could do and went back to heaven, there wouldn't be no hope for the world, because the one reason he came, he just didn't come to feed 5,000. He just didn't come just to walk on the water. He just didn't come to do all these miracles. One reason he came to die for the human race. He came to pay the price of sin, death, hell, and the grave. He came to redeem those that are lost. And when he came, yes, he did, he came on down through 42 generations and stopped in Jerusalem, Bethlehem of Judea. And he came to tell you one thing: I've got to go to Calvary. I've got to die on a cruel cross. And you talking about a cruel cross? Yeah, they did him wrong. They did Jesus wrong. And let me tell you, I wasn't there, but my sins were there, because I'm guilty of slapping Jesus. I'm guilty of doing wrong. I'm guilty of sinning against the great God. I'm guilty, and I admit I'm guilty. And since I'm guilty, justice wanted to get rid of me, but mercy came in and said, don't touch it. Don't touch Bizarre, because mercy said, I've done something that I can give him mercy. What did Jesus do for me? Ooh, what did he do for me? What did he do for you? Well, I'll tell you what he did for me. He died for me. He took my place on Calvary. Oh, y'all don't understand me. He took my place on Calvary. Nobody could do it. My daddy couldn't do it. My mama couldn't do it. The pastor couldn't do it. The Pope can't do it. Took my place on Calvary's cross, beaten beyond recognition, 39 stripes, pierced his side. Wouldn't even give him a drink of water. I did it. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sin. Woo! But he loved me so much that I believed in him. And by me believing in him, he gave me eternal life. This sacrifice, God didn't have no extra ram. He didn't have no ram. He said, no, I can't find no animal to take my place, because he was the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in the flesh. He felt the whole pain of sin, death, hell, and grave. He went down into hell, preached to those in prison. Came up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And now he sits on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for me and you, and saving souls every day. Every day somebody's getting saved. Somebody is saying, I've been redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, this is one sacrifice. There was no substitute, because the substitute was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Jesus Christ was my substitute, and he's your substitute. Now, you think about this. You think about this. Every soul that rejects the substitute of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice, if you reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you die without accepting Christ as your personal Savior, if you die without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will have to pay for your own sins. And I tell you one thing, I don't want to pay for my own sins. I can't pay for my own sins. And if I try to make my effort to pay for my own sins, I will die and go to hell. I know it. But Jesus Christ made the sacrifice that I don't have to go to hell. And when he saved me once and for all. I'm saved eternally. I can't be saved the third time. I can't be saved the fourth time. I can't be saved the fifth time. If I'm saved by the grace of God, he seals me with his Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And now we're living in that age where God says, now when you see these bones and these dry bones in the land of Israel, come back. And he said, now I'm going to put some sin hooves up on them. And the sin hooves means strength. And I will bring flesh up on them. I'm going to give them identity and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Israel is going to know that God Almighty is the Lord of heaven. They're going to know. They don't know it now, but they're going to know it. And when they know it, and when they begin to acknowledge, and they can't know it until God move upon them. And God has moved upon them ever since the beginning of time. 1948, he did the thing that was unbelievable, and that was bring them back into the land. And they've been back into the land 73 years, and now God is getting ready to do something. He's been doing it all along. And since they're back in the land, the nations of the world, all the nations of the world is plotting to wipe out the Jew from the face of the earth. You say, where do you get that, preacher? I got it from the word of God. I got it from the book of Psalms. Look in the book of Psalms, the 83rd division of Psalms. Let's read and see what they are planning to do in the Middle East right now. In the 83rd division of Psalms, listen what they're planning to do in the book of the 83rd division of Psalms. Listen what the Psalms of Asaph wrote millenniums years ago, 2,000 years ago. He wrote this, and this is what he wrote. He wrote, Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make torment, and they that hate thee, the nations of the world that hate thee, have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, the nations of the world have said, come. The Arabs and the Egyptians and the Russians and all the nations of the world say, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Let's destroy the nation of Israel. And you see in the Middle East today, 2021, you see the nations of the world are plotting to try to wipe out the Jewish people from the face of the earth. This is a psalm written in the book of Psalms telling you and me that the nations of the world don't want Israel in the land. They're trying to wipe them out. But listen to what Asaph said. He said, they have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel shall be no more in remembrance. Blot out Israel. Blot the Jews from the face of the earth. This is what the nations of the world are saying. And there is one nation that's standing, are trying to stand to back up the Jews. And that nation is United States of America. It's the only nation right now that seems like they want to back the Jewish people. But I hope Biden backs them up and stand on the side of the Jewish people, because God said, I'm going to work with the Jewish people and what? And bring them back into the right of land that they can be a witness for me in the last days. Just before I come back, the Jews is going to be a worldwide witness to the whole round world. They're going to see it on TV, radio. They're going to see it on Instagram. They're going to see it on YouTube. They're going to see it on iPhone and Z phone or whatever phone you got. Amen. They're going to witness it, that the God is going to use the Jews in the last day to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel is the kingdom, that the Jews are going to come out dynamite. And they are going to preach what? They are going to preach that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is coming back to set up the millennium kingdom. That's what they're going to preach. And they're going to preach it for what? They're going to preach it after. Listen to me now. They're going to preach it after the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is soon to occur. And I know a lot of preachers can't see it. A lot of church folks can't see it. A lot of church folks can't understand it. They don't understand that all that Middle East that's going over in there now is preparing for the Jews to get ready to preach the last 7 years on the earth before Jesus Christ comes back. Because before Christ comes back, the Antichrist has to come. The Antichrist has to make a false accusation that he is Jesus Christ to the Jewish nation, and it's going to be a big lie. He can't come back until the Jews rebuild the temple. And now the Jews are getting ready to rebuild the temple. They got the priesthood. They got the Ark of the Covenant. They got all the utensils. They got the menorah. They're getting ready for the red heifer. Woo! Jews are getting ready to meet the true Christ, but before the true Christ is being revealed, they got to meet the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will be Satan. The devil will come on a peace platform. He will tell the Jews, yes, you can build your temple. Yes, you can start your sacrifices up. Because the Jews still believe that the Old Testament sacrifices is adequate enough to save mankind. And the bulls or goats and turtle doves is not adequate to save mankind. The only thing that those blood of the animals was able to do was to cover sin, cover sin, cover sin, cover sin. But God was getting tired of covering sin. He wanted some power to take sin out of mankind and walk in men's lives and change whoremongers and change adulterers and change liars and change their life, that Jesus Christ can walk inside of them. And the only way Jesus Christ can walk inside of the human being today is because of his sacrifice and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now God has fixed a way that Christ can walk inside of who? Who? Mankind. And if Christ is in you, let me tell you, you'll put old things away. Behold, everything is new. If Christ be in you, then you ought to be able to live like Christ. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you got to love like Christ. You got to rejoice like Christ. You got to live a separated life like Christ. Why? Because sin cannot dwell in an unclean vessel. And if Christ sanctify you by his blood, that means he wiped out the sin in your soul and in your spirit. Now you become sinless, Oh, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about your soul. Your spirit becomes sinless when Christ comes in your soul. When he comes in your spirit, your soul and your what? Your spirit is sinless, separated from sin. By what? By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sin. Man cannot be saved unless Christ shed his blood. And he shed his blood 2,000 years ago, and the blood of Jesus Christ has never lost its power. I'm talking about what? I'm talking about the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And here, Israel is coming back to meet their Messiah. But before he come back, they got to meet the false Messiah. Look at what these people are trying to do. Look at what the nations of the world is going to do. And remember, America right now is the only nation so far is backing up Israel. If President Biden don't back up Israel, he's got a problem on his hand. If President Biden don't back up Israel and stand for the Jewish people, America is going to run into some trouble. And that trouble is, there's a time coming. There's a time coming when this Antichrist will come on the scene, and the nations of the world will follow the Antichrist and gather what? Gather nations together all against Israel. And when you gather nations against Israel, you would think that Israel don't have a chance. And Israel would not have a chance if it wasn't for God Almighty. You hear what I said? Israel would not have a chance or opportunity to defeat the hordes of men and nations that's going to try to wipe them off the face of the earth. The only hope that they have, but God Almighty, is God Almighty, the Yahweh, the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them across the annals of time. And if you don't believe me, go back there and talk to Moses and see what Moses did for the people of Israel through the power of God Almighty. Brought them through the Red Sea. Brought them all the way up from Egypt into the land flowing with milk and honey. He brought them all the way up and set up the kingdom and kept them for at least 400 years until Israel rebelled against him. And God said, I'm going to chastise you. I'm going to let you be whipped. You have become whorish. You have become whoring after other gods. You are doing everything the opposite that I taught you. And so I'm going to let you be whipped by the Gentile nation. But now the Jews are coming back, and the Gentile nations want to wipe them off the face of the earth. And let me tell you, they're in for a bruising. Because God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Good God Almighty, these dry bones. Listen to these dry bones. Listen, I'm going to finish this, and I'm going to go back to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Listen to what it said. It said, for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacle of Edom. These are the nations that's coming against them. These are the tabernacle of Edom, the Israelites, the Moabs, the Hagarines, the Gibels, the Ammons, the Amalek. The Philistines, with inhabitants of Tyre, Assyr, joined with them, and they have opened the children of Lot and Sheba. Do unto them as you did unto the Midianites in the Syria, as to they did unto Jabin at the brook of Kishon. In other words, any time Israel in the Old Testament had to fight against these people, God came in and destroyed them. Why? Because they don't you touch my people. You touch them, you touch the apple of mine eye. He said, I love Israel with an everlasting love. The reason they went through a whole lot of Holocaust is because they were disobedient. But I'm going to bring them back into the right standing with God. And I can only do this. Woo! I can only do this and bring them back in the right standing with God. I can only do this through the cross. No cross, no salvation. No cross, no hope. No cross, no joy. No cross, no love. God, through the cross, reconciled the world back to himself. And he's going to reconcile Israel back into the rightful standing, and they are going to become the head of all nations. The head of all nations is going to be the Jewish nation. And he said, now y'all have been the tail for the last 2,000 years. Nations have been ridiculing you and laughing at you and killing you and murdering you and talking about you and making fun of you, but you're going to become the head of the nations, and the Gentile nations are going to recognize that the Lord God Almighty is the one that's going to revive the Jewish people. Good God Almighty. But the Antichrist, let's get back where I was, is going to come first. And in the book of Ezekiel, we see that the Lord said, y'all going to know me. And he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy to the four winds. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied and commanded me, and breathed and came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet with an exceedingly great army. And he said unto me, son of man, this is what it said. This is what I love. This is what he said. He said, and he said unto me, son of man, Ezekiel, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Israel is saying this. Israel is saying this today. Lord, our hope is gone. Our bones are dry. We have cut off our parts. We have been split. Our kingdoms have split. We're out here in Jerusalem, and the nations of the world is plotting to wipe us off the face of the earth. And who are we going to call on? Who are we going to trust in? The nations of the world, the Gentile nations, are against us. Why? Because Satan knows that the Jews are the only one that can sustain moral value and spiritual value upon the face of the earth. And God is going to show the world that these people are special. These people are unique. These people, are so loving and kind and considerate. But a lot of people say, oh, the Jews are mean and cruel. Well, you don't even know what you're talking about. Amen. But the best person you can meet is a Jew. They don't play. You mess with them, they're going to rise up against you. But you treat them right, amen, they'll be a blessing to you. And he told Abraham, whoever blessed the Jewish people, I'll bless them. Whoever cursed them, I'll curse them. And the nations of the world have been cursed. The Gentile nation, Russia, is full of communism. The world is trying to be overtaken by communism because of the Jewish people. God said the Jewish people's lifestyle is the highest standard that's on the face of the earth, and that is to fear God and keep his commandments. And Jews do fear God to a certain extent. And the Bible tells me anybody that revolts and talk about him, they will be cut asunder. He said, so Ezekiel said, I'm a prophesy and said unto them, thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into what? The land of Israel. They came up out of the graves in 1948. They came out of the graves from 1948 until 2021. They've been coming out their graves. What? Not a literary grave, but a spiritual grave. Yeah, they were buried under idolatry. They were buried under lying and cheating. They were buried under unbelief. They were buried under all of that. But now they're coming back to the land, and they're coming up out of their grave. And you said, you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, all my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it saith the Lord, oh my God. He said, I will put my spirit in you. How can you put, how can God put his spirit in you? How can he do it? Well, he in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came and went. It could not live in man eternally. Ooh, hallelujah. It came in and went. And it came in and went. It came upon the prophets. It came upon the seers. It came in and went. Until when? Until Jesus Christ came. And when he came, he died for the sins of man. And by him dying for the sins of man, he not only covers sin, but he takes sin out of man. And when he takes sin out of man, Christ steps in. And when Christ steps in, now you can walk in the Spirit. And what did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. He said, this life that I now live is not I that liveth in me. So now the Jewish people now can live in Christ forever. And when you come to know Jesus Christ, he saved you with eternal redemption. And now the Jews are being saved. The Jews are recognizing that the Christ that they rejected 2,000 years ago is the Christ that's coming back in his second coming at the end of the tribulation period. And then there's another group of Jews that don't believe he still is the Christ. But when Antichrist comes, they're going to believe that he is the true Christ, when he will be what? The devil's instrument. The devil instrument. And this devil instrument will come on the scene. In the sixth chapter of Revelation, John said, I saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow in his hand, and he went out to conquer and to conquer. That is the Antichrist. He will come on a what? Diplomacy platform. He will come on a peace pact. Amen. The Jews are getting ready for the Abraham Accord. The Abraham Accord is a covenant that the Antichrist is going to make with the Jewish people, that they can build their temple, and that they can offer sacrifices, and that he's going to sign a covenant that he will give them 7 years of protection. That's what this Antichrist is going to do, but it's a lie. It's a lie from the pits of hell, that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. Every time he speaks is a lie. Whoa, and the Jews are going to believe this lie, but it won't hold up. The reason it won't hold up, because number one, God is going to reveal exactly what kind of power the Jewish people are going to have during the tribulation period. The tribulation period, Lord, have mercy, won't be able to come until the body of Christ is remitted from the earth. And to tell me, you know what I'm talking about. It said in the fourth chapter of Thessalonians, it said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shouting, with the voices of archangels, and the trumpets of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. Yeah. And when Jesus Christ comes, and I don't know what hour, I don't know what day, I don't know what year, I don't know what minute or what second, but he said, when you see all these things come to pass, look up for your redemption's draweth nigh. And these dry bones that I'm talking about is in Israel, and they have been renewed, because skin is upon them, and they tell me flesh is upon them, and they tell me they know something getting ready to happen, and they tell me the Jews won't be able to do nothing until the church has been removed. And when the church is removed, that means the Jews are going to take over for 7 years. They are going to preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good God Almighty. Y'all got to help me up in here. I can't help myself. This is so good. I don't know how to bring it to you, but to tell me, in the fourth chapter of Revelation, in the fourth chapter, we see the rapture of the church. John said, I was caught up immediately in the spirit. Well, that's the rapture, because the door was open. And to tell me, Jesus said, I am the door. I got doors that I can close and no man can shut. I got doors that I can shut and no man can close. And he said, when I was immediately was caught in the spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This is the rapture of the church, because when I leave here, when I leave this old planet, I'm going to meet the Lord at the throne, at the judgment seat of Bema seat, of the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ and give him of the works that I've done while here I'm on earth. Did I live so God can use me? Did I tell somebody about this Christ? Did I tell somebody how he can save your soul from sin, death, hell, and the grave? Because I tell you one thing, you don't want to go to hell. No, no, no. And you don't want to burn forever in a lake of fire. You don't want to burn for sin that you've done yourself. You want somebody to deliver you from hell. And the only one that I can think of and know for a fact that can deliver you from sin, death, hell, and the grave is Jesus Christ. And I know there's been all kind of deliveries that's made on the planet. FedEx can deliver you a package. The mailman can deliver you this, and they tell me UPS can deliver a mail. They tell me all men can make some kind of delivery. But there's no man that can deliver you from death, hell, and the grave. Nobody but Jesus Christ. Nobody but Jesus Christ. And in the fourth chapter, if you read your Bible, you will see that John saw the throne of God. That's where the church will be in the fourth chapter. The church will be in heaven. And there we will be judged at the bema seat of Jesus Christ. While we're being judged at the bema of Jesus Christ, at the bema seat of Jesus Christ, there will be a holocaust on earth, because the rapture of the church, when these occur, all born-again believers will be caught up. All babies, all those that's in prison that have accepted Jesus Christ, those that's in the saint asylum that knows Jesus Christ. Oh, come on now. Woo! There's a lot of people that have nervous breakdown that knows Jesus Christ. Good God Almighty. Woo! The blood of Jesus Christ can dig down in that soul. Woo! And take sin out of it. The only thing you're dealing with, amen, in the world today is the world, flesh, and the devil. And they're all three of them will drive you crazy if you're not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. But that don't mean their soul is not saved. Woo! Many would say in that day how we did wonderful things, and Jesus would say, I don't even know you. Good God Almighty. And in the fourth chapter, the rapture. In the fifth chapter, the throne of God. In the sixth chapter, the white horse rides. And when the white horse rides, the Antichrist come on the scene. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, there won't be nobody saved up on this earth. But nobody will be saved up on this earth when the rapture of the church, because all the saved will leave. All the saved will be transmitted, translated from earth to glory. So there won't be no saved person up on earth after the rapture. But after the rapture, the church will be gone, so the gospel will not be preached by the church no more. The gospel of grace will be over. The gospel of grace will be over for the church. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, when I come, it will be a twinkling of an eye. So there won't be nobody here to witness until God steps his feet on the balance of heaven. And in the sixth chapter, we see the four horses of apocalypse. We see the Antichrist wide. We see war breaks out, the red horse. We see the black horse famine across the world. We see in the fourth horse, we see a pale, sick-looking horse. Diseases will break out on the planet. Not only corona, but every disease that you can think of will break out on the face of the earth. And a lot of people say, well, why you talk like that? Amen, because the Bible said it was going to happen. There will be diseases breaking out over the planet, amen, of earth. There's world diseases like smallpox, tuberculosis, syphilis will break out, amen. Transsexual transmitted diseases, HIV, AIDS will break out more, influenza, the bubonic plague, cholera, Ebola, yellow fever, typhoid fever, strep throat. We got, oh man, we got all kind of diseases that's going to break out. Meningitis, we got measles, we got malaria, we got hepatitis, we got all kind of diseases will break out on that pale, sick-looking horse. Death and hell will follow after them. And they tell me after the church is gone, oh, somebody said, well, who going to preach the gospel? My God, who going to preach the gospel? Because they tell me there won't be no more evangelistic preachers calling out, sending money. There won't be preachers riding in big jet planes and having fine cars and houses. There won't be no preachers be able to say God is going to bless you, because they tell me if you be old disobedient, God can't bless you. And they tell me the evangelistic money thirsty preachers, and they tell me false prophets will have to bow down, false prophets will have to suffer the judgment. And since there won't be nobody here to preach the gospel of the kingdom, God say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, don't stop. The church is in heaven right now in the fourth chapter. And then he said, in the seventh chapter, the Bible tells me, look here, in the fourth chapter, the church is gone. In the seventh chapter, we see an angel comes down out of heaven. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind shall not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel, ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice, and the four angels whom was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until I have sealed the servant of our God in their forehead. Good God Almighty. Yes, I want to tell you, God got some witnesses that's coming. And these witnesses is called 144,000. 144,000 is not Jehovah's Witness. 144,000 is not the Baptist nor Presbyterian. It's not anything to do with the Gentile nation. It's not the church, because the church won't be here when the Jews get ready to preach the gospel. And they tell me, John said, now, wait a minute, look here. He said, hurt not the earth, neither the sea. No judgment will fall until thou seal what? I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000. 144,000 who? Jews. Good God Almighty. Yes. And they tell me, how many? How many do I see? And I see a count. Listen to what old John said. John said, I see the tribe of Judah, in which our Lord came from. He said, from the tribe of Judah, there was 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. They tell me, and when I saw these 12,000, 12,000 from each tribe. And if you know your multiplication, 12 times 12 equals 144,000. And these are the Jews that's going to preach the gospel after the church is gone. Hallelujah! Praise God. Hey, they're going to preach for 3.5 years. Hey, they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. They're going to preach in January, February, March, April, May, and June for 3.5 years. They're going to preach it, and it's going to be publicized. It's going to be worldwide. People are going to hear it from around the world, around the world. The gospel will be preached, because on TV and radio now, you ain't got nothing but a whole bunch of garbage. They ain't saying nothing. You got some ministries that ain't saying nothing. But here, these 144,000 Jews is going to turn the world upside down. You talk about upside down, they're going to tell the world, look, this Messiah that we have rejected for 2,600 years, he's coming back. He's coming back to judge the world in righteousness. He's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. He's coming back to make the wrong right. He's coming back to justify the righteous. He's coming back to prove that the Jews is his chosen people. They're going to preach every year for 3.5 years. Do you hear what I said? I said these 144,000 Jews are going to preach. They're going to preach. They're going to turn the CBS and the NBC and the MSNBC upside down. It's going to be from coast to coast in the United States. It's going to be around the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? They got 600 satellites, internets, in the heavenlies right now, 600 satellites that can cover the whole world in one day and send out the gospel that the 144,000 is going to preach for 3.5 years. You hear what I said? From January to December for 3.5 years. Through the wintertime, through the springtime. Oh, my God. This is awesome. And the world, the Gentile world, the Illuminati's, and the secret society's going to hear it. You hear what I said? The Luciferians are going to hear it. Every demon, low-down, dirty demon's going to hear it. They're going to hear it. They're going to hear it. Let me tell you, God is going to put it out like a B-48. It's going to run around the world, and folks are going to what? Receive Christ under the power and the ministry of the 144,000. Do you hear what I said? I said the Gentile nation and the Jews are going to receive what? Salvation through the preaching of the 144,000 continually for 3.5 years and no stopping. There ain't going to be no church meeting. There ain't going to be no Bible study. People are going to hear it straight from the internet. They're going to hear it from Facebook. Facebook ain't going to shut down. They ain't going to shut down nothing because God said, I'm going to send the gospel out to my people. I'm going to turn the world upside down. I'm going to go to the corners and the cracks of the universe. I'm going to let the world know. Time is up. I'm going to let the world know that the Messiah is soon to return. The Jews are going to rebuild their temple. The Antichrist is going to sit in the temple. They're going to do abomination of desolation. But the Jews are going to do exactly what God intended the Jews to do for what? For the last 2,600 years. Because God told the Jewish people in the book of Daniel 9:27, I'm going to deal with you for 70 years, but almost seven times that 70 years and make it 490 years. I'm going to deal with the Jewish people. I'm going to deal with the Jewish people. And he dealt with the Jews from 440 B.C. all the way up to 33 A.D. when Jesus Christ came riding through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. And the world, I don't even like to say the Jews crucified him because it was the world that crucified Christ. It was me. I admit it. I helped crucify Christ. I was a murderer and a liar and a cheat. I was a gambler. I was all that stuff. People talking about, well, I wasn't this and I wasn't that. I don't care what you wasn't. I want to know one thing. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you had your sins forgiven? So the Jews now are getting ready for the heifer, the red heifer. They're getting ready to rebuild the temple. They're getting ready to go on the place in which the temple is going to be built. And the nations that surround the Jewish people is trying to prevent that from happening. But will make no difference how many nations comes against the Jewish people. They are going to come victorious because the gospel will be preached from Jerusalem to the utmost parts of the earth. Ask you a question. 120, were they Jews? Yes. On the day of Pentecost, started in Jerusalem. So the close of the 7-year tribulation, God's going to start with 144,000 this time. And they're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost because he's going to put the seal up on them. And when he put the seal up on them, they tell me, you talking about a good time. And then after they get through preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the return of Jesus Christ to set up the millennial kingdom. After the 3.5 years, John looked again, and guess what? He said, in the 9th verse, after this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of what? All nations. There ain't no discrimination. Huh? Ain't no segregation. It says all nations and kindred and people and tongues, all kinds of people, millions of people, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in what? White robes and palms in their hands. These are the ones that will have to go through the great tribulation. There is a tribulation, and then there's a great tribulation, which equals 7 years altogether. 3 1/2 years, the first part of the tribulation, a semi-peace. And then in the last 3 1/2 years, hell breaks loose. And when hell breaks loose, that means Satan is in full control of the political system, the religious system, the economical system, every system of the world. He will have control for a period of 3 1/2 years, but in the midst of that 3 1/2 years, God is going to be saving people by the millions. And John looked, and he said, I cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and into the Lamb. And all Jesus stood about the throne and about the elders, and four beasts fell before the throne and on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, amen, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might unto our God and for God forever and forever. Amen. And one of the elders, one of the 24 elders, stood up in the midst of heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, he said, what are these which were arrayed in white robes? Good God Almighty, whence came they? And I said unto him, this is John said, I said, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the what? In the blood of the Lamb. No, nothing but the blood. These are they that came and got saved through the tribulation, a great number that no man can number. And John said, where did they come from and who are they? Well, these are the tribulation saints. These are the ones that received Christ after the rapture of the church. And the church is in heaven right now rejoicing and shouting and proclaiming the victory of the Lamb, that through the tribulation period and the preaching of the gospel from the Jewish people, ooh, God said, I fulfilled it. They fulfilled it. They did the job. They did the job because, number one, they knew that they were supposed to do it. I know that the church did the best they could, and now we know the church is in a lagging state. But all the church is in a lagging state. The church did all they could do. Lord, but the church, I really believe I'm guilty. I kind of, like, I failed God. And since I failed God, he said, that's all right. You might have failed me, but you kept the faith. You might have failed me, but you kept on pressing. You might have failed me, but that's all right. He can tell you one thing. He said, you've been faithful and true. And that's what I want the Lord to say to me when I receive my crown. I want you to say, you was faithful over a few things. I'll bet you reward over many. He said, well, if you keep the faith, you can say, well done, well done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. My God, I got about 5 minutes. I'm going to put this in there. In the middle of the tribulation, a great catastrophe is going to happen. A great catastrophe in the middle of the tribulation. There's going to be a war in heaven. And this war is found in the book of Revelation at the 12th chapter. And you will read it. If you get a chance, you read it, where it says the devil and his angels fought against the angels of Michael. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon was cast out of heaven. Well, this is the middle of the tribulation, when there will be a galactical a war like never before, and the devil and his angel will be cast to the earth. In other words, the devil is coming to earth first, The devil's coming down here first before Christ comes to the earth. Demons and devils, UFOs and flying aliens, which are demons, which are fallen angels, are going to invade this earth. It's already been published on TV. You already done seen it. You see all these earth space movies and different people coming from different planets. Well, there are UFOs and there are fallen angels. They are deities. They are wicked spirits that was cast out long before I ever existed. And since I existed, now I exist, and I'm finding out all these fallen angels are going to invade earth. Why in the world God is going to let the devil come to earth? Well, let's think about this. Do the world want Christ today? Do the world love Christ today? Do the world want to turn from sin today? Do the world rejoice over the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do the world, is the world craving for the love of God? And I can tell you right now, no. What do the world want? They want pleasure. They want sin. They want homosexuals. They want demonic demons. They want money. They want lavish homes. They want materialism. That's what they want. The world don't want Christ. They reject Christ. And if you reject Christ, God said the only thing I have to give you is what Satan has. And the world is saying, come on, Satan. Give me what you got. So God is going to permit the demons and devils to invade earth. And when they invade earth, the ninth chapter of Revelation, you will see a bottomless pit will open. And when this pit is open, demons and devils will come out of this bottomless pit. But my friend, let me tell you, they're going to sting men that they want to die and can't die. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. My friends, you need salvation. You need to know Jesus Christ. Things are not going to get no better. I ain't worried about corona. I'm worried about souls of men that they receive Christ. I ain't worried about the diseases and pestilence and all that earthquake. I ain't worried about that. What I'm worried about is trying to convince the world, trying to convince church members and churchgoers, trying to confess and let them know there is a God. There is a way that you can escape all this hell that's going to hit this planet, because it's going to hit it. It's going to hit it hard. And I want to let you know, the simple plan of salvation is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation that Christ is the Son of God, God himself, and that he died on Calvary's cross for your sins, that you can be saved through eternity. It's as simple as ABC. You need to know it. You need to know it. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from what? End Time Internet Ministry. Block Talk Radio. Come back next week. I won't be on next Sunday, but I'll come back the Sunday after that. That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Love you all. See you next time. In Jesus' name, church say amen. Amen. I'm sorry. I got 4 more minutes left. Amen. Don't run off yet. 4 more minutes left. I want to let you know that I hope you understood where I'm coming from. We are in that time now that Christ can come any second. And I want to let you know that you have the right to the tree of life, Jesus Christ, for he is God all by himself, self-existent one. He's God the Father, God the Son, and truly God the Holy Ghost. All three, one. One God. One hope. One baptism. One heaven and one hell. Whatever you do, whatever you say,